John Kurtz, Tyler Dreiling, Mitch Fortner back in here on the game at 5:10. Why Tiger Woods seemingly treated so much differently than other big celebrities that have had some major issues crop up with them. And a little bit more on Danny Duffy and the Royals' struggles now with his injury. This really surprised me, but Dante Barnett is one of the guys who signed a free agent contract or was drafted from K-State in this year's batch of Wildcats moving on to the NFL. He's probably the guy that we've talked about the least. He was the last one that we found out had an official contract, quote-unquote, signed to actually go to rookie minicamp with the Broncos. But now Chris Harris, who's a former Kansas Jayhawk, by the way, that is a starter for the Broncos, seems to think that Dante Barnett's got a shot to make the team.
Yeah, he met with the media earlier today for some reason, and he was asked what undrafted free agent had caught his attention the most, and he said Dante Barnett is his sleeper to make the roster, said that he's really caught his eye, caught his attention. So I guess that's a positive thing, some praise from a former KU defensive back to former K-State defensive back.
Well, it's awesome, and Dante Barnett is great and a guy that's a great example of just really working his tail off since he came in here. He's the quintessential K-State type of player under Bill Snyder, in particular Bill Snyder 2.0, since coming back in 2009. He came in with Tyler Lockett, totally unheralded, much less heralded out of those two, and worked his way up to being one of the most valuable players on the team, all Big 12 type of talent at safety. The biggest reason it surprises me is because he's not a guy that made his way in college based on athleticism. Everything we always heard about Dante Barnett was how cerebral he was as a safety and how he always knew where to be and how he always was able to get everybody else where they're supposed to be. He could be the traffic cop back there, know where everybody is supposed to line up and make sure everything works from that standpoint, and that's what led to his success. You know, when you get to the NFL, certainly that is going to help you, but I would tend to lean towards, you know, you'd rather have more of the athleticism part of it when you're going to the NFL. You know, sometimes guys can be better players in the NFL because something finally clicks, they get the right coach, and they've had the athleticism the whole time when they didn't have it all together upstairs in college. I figured Dante Barnett would be the other way around. Since his game was so based on that in college, he was going to struggle in the NFL just because, you know, his athleticism was not his strong suit in college.
But maybe if you're an NFL franchise and you're looking at a guy who's probably going to be something like your third string safety, maybe that's what you want, is someone that's more on the side of knowing exactly where they're supposed to be, and you want to be more conservative with the guy you're having as a third string, so that if it gets down to him, you feel like they may give up some plays, but they're not going to be the real high-risk, high-reward guy that could give up long passes over the top or something like that. I think that how you view the importance of athleticism is different when you're talking about like a third string or a practice squad guy versus a potential starter in your organization.
Could be. And I hope that he makes the team. I would love that for Dante Barnett. This weekend, I actually got into some baseball outside of the Royals, which is a big-time rarity. Me watching any baseball highlight of a game that does not involve the Kansas City Royals, because baseball is the biggest sport that is an example of a sport that is just completely regionalized. You care about your team, you don't care about the rest of the sport. The NFL is the total opposite, where everybody loves every single game that's going on, pays attention to every team. Not that way at all in baseball. You pay attention to your local team and not much else. What was it that got me to pay attention to other things in baseball? Oh, it was just an actual knockdown, drag-out type of fight, which is rare enough in baseball. And it also involved arguably the biggest lightning rod in the game and arguably the best player in the game right now in Bryce Harper. How about that fight, man? That was some good stuff.
It was solid.
Some good stuff.
Both of them have a lot of work to do to reach Rougned Odor when it comes to landing right hooks, but it was solid, and I always pay attention to that kind of thing.
Well, Bryce Harper is the one that needs more work on landing everything.
Yes.
He certainly had the fury going on, and he certainly had the look with his hair.
The hair.
Whipping around as all of this was happening. And, well, his aim was not good. He did totally go for it. You can't say that, you know, that he did not have the guts to actually go out there and do it. He certainly did. And he did land one punch, but not before he got walloped a couple times.
And I think the biggest story behind the story to this is that Buster Posey showed absolutely no interest in helping out his pitcher, Hunter Strickland, who apparently has not been what you would call much of a clubhouse guy over the course of his major league career. And maybe what Harper delivered to him was something the rest of his team, you know, thought was coming or thought was deserved.
Well, it seems like everybody that's come out and spoken to Hunter Strickland has said this guy deserved what he got. And when you find out the details on the situation, yeah, he absolutely deserved what he got. You know, as a San Francisco Giant in 2014, in the playoff run leading up to the World Series, Hunter Strickland was upset about Bryce Harper homering off him in the National League playoffs leading up to the World Series. So he's settling a score from 3 years ago. Along the way as well, in that run in 2014, by the way, he had a confrontation with Salvador Perez in Game 2 of the World Series at home plate that I'd forgotten about until I went back and looked at it. And that seemed fairly ridiculous. It was after an Omar Infante home run, and Sal was the next guy up to the plate, and he was mouthing off to Salvador Perez as Infante's rounding the bases. He seems like a hothead.
But here's the good news behind all of this, is that it seems like guys like him that seem to hold the unwritten rules of baseball higher than the Bible are losing popularity among the great players in baseball. You know, I think that not long ago, baseball was a place where the unwritten rules were held in such high esteem that was the good side to be on. And now there's more and more of these superstar players that are ignoring the unwritten rules and going against it. At least that's what it seems like to me. And I think that that's a good thing.
I think the aspect of it that's at issue here is how far back it is. Like, this is not settling a team score, and it's not protecting a teammate. You know, I think Buster Posey mm-hmm. and all those guys feel differently about the unwritten rules if it were actually something that involved another teammate that they felt was justified. They didn't feel like this was a just interpretation of the quote-unquote,
especially when you have the worst record in the major leagues. I mean, you do not have the flexibility to work with by putting your team at stake by not only literally putting someone on base because you're choosing to, but now he's also going to deal with the suspension and everything like that. The Giants don't have that wiggle room, so it was just a very selfish move from what I can tell.
Well, remember when we talked about Yordano Ventura and he was going through his mean streak where he's throwing at people and everything, it was, especially last year, the Manny Machado incident, it was, look, you got to be better if you're going to be doing stuff like that. You can't mm-hmm. tolerate the extracurricular stuff if you're not going to be performing. That probably applies here as well. But I will say, I am obviously enthralled by the fight here. It makes baseball more interesting. Storylines like this make baseball more interesting. Just seeing what happened there is going to get people's attention. So I like that aspect of it. But this did occur, and most of these fights do occur because of the unwritten rules, which I hate how baseball still operates like it's 1910 with that type of stuff. So I'm really, with my stances on these two things in Major League Baseball, I am caught in a bind. I am in a pickle here because I don't like how they do treat the unwritten rules. I like what you said there, like more important than the Bible in Major League Baseball. But I also like when that does create enough controversy that it leads to a fight.
Right.
There.
You can't totally get rid of the unwritten rules because then we wouldn't have fights anymore and you wouldn't have any reason to tune into any game that doesn't involve the Royals.
I would
suggest. So you got to keep them around.
Would suggest if you want to make baseball more exciting, you saw the Blue Jays fan run out onto the field there in a 15-2 game while the ball was actually hit in the air and a pop-up on the infield. That would add a new element of excitement to Major League Baseball. Say once an inning for one out, fan gets to run around on the field and try and distract you. Maybe the ball's hit to where the fan's at, maybe it's not. He just gets to be a distraction for everybody. Does that not sound... Would that make you watch Blue Jays Phillies?
Yes.
I might watch Blue Jays Phillies if that was going on. When we come back, an example of a good troll move and a bad troll move from fans this weekend. You're listening to The Game.